This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Street performers, even good ones, have a tough time making ends meet in most cities. But busking is serious business in a musical city like New Orleans. That's where cellist Layla McKella earned her reputation as an artist. Competition between street musicians is fierce in the Big Easy, but Layla's sound has stopped many a tourist in their tracks.
This is going to sound crazy, but the cello is a living thing. Like, instruments are living things. The wood is expanding and contracting. It's so sensitive to light and heat and humidity. This instrument is not just for the concert hall. And that's why I like playing Bach on the street, because it's different than a lot of the music that is out on the street, for sure, in New Orleans, but out on the street anywhere.
This week, she brings her act to North Carolina. She's going to perform tonight at the Arts Center in Carrboro. But first, Layla McKella is in our studio. Welcome to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you are accompanied today by Carrie Morin. Carrie, welcome. Good to have
you
here.
Thanks.
So, Layla, clearly you have a close relationship with your instrument. How far back does this go? When did you develop this love?
Well, I started playing cello when I was about 8 years old. And it was probably when I was in middle school that I actually started to get good at it. And that's when I really started to really know that that's what I wanted to do with my life and work towards that. I had an opportunity to study with a Juilliard professor named Andrei Emelianov when I was in about seventh grade. And he, in my head, it was like, okay, I'm going to go to Juilliard. But life takes over. And when I was in high school, my family moved to Ghana in West Africa. And I didn't really play cello very much during that time. But when I came back, I got right back into it. And it's just always been something that I knew I had to do.
When did it come to life for you, this idea that it's a living, breathing thing?
I think when I was in college and I was kind of getting tired of the classical scene and knew that that wasn't really exactly where my heart was or where I was going with music, but knowing that the cello is such an amazing instrument and wanting to learn how to play it in different ways.
When you were in Ghana, you said you stopped playing the cello. Did you get involved in the music scene there, and any of the local music appeal to you?
You know what? At that time, not really, because I was a jaded teenager and I didn't appreciate the things around me enough. But I did get really into photography, and I would walk around in the streets taking photographs, and I actually had a photo exhibit while I was down there. It's kind of just a detour.
Well, we're glad you came back. Will you play something for us now?
Yes. I'm going to play a song called Heart of Gold, which is a Langston Hughes poem that I composed music to. I know I'd up and sell my heart of gold and head north with the dough. But I don't have a heart of gold, my heart's not even lead. It's made of plain old Georgia clay. And that's why my heart is red. I wonder why red clay is so red. red in Georgia skies, so blue. I wonder why it's yes to me, but yes, sir, sir to you. I wonder why the sky's so blue and why the clay's so red. Why down south is always down and never up instead.
Layla McCalla live on The State of Things, a song called Heart of Gold. She's accompanied today by Carrie Morin, going to be at the Arts Center in Carrboro tonight at 8 o'clock. A Langston Hughes poem. Have you put other Hughes poems to music?
Yeah, it's actually something that I started doing a few years back. And I was just reading his poems and found that they have such a strong rhythmic sense, and I really felt a rhythmic connection to them, and so that inspired me to write songs, compose music to it.
You are strumming the cello. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. Is that something other artists do? And I don't get around much.
I'm sure that other people do that, but not many.
What made you start to experiment that way with the cello?
When I was in college, I studied with a cellist named Rufus Cappadocia, who does all this crazy bow slapping and strumming with his fingers. And he had bussed and traveled through Europe, Eastern Europe and Spain. And he told me the story was he needed to make money and he had to get people's attention, so he started learning how to play flamenco on cello. And
does he hold it that way too, or he keeps it down?
No, he holds it the same way I'm holding it, with the end pin.
So a conventional way to hold a cello, not like you'd hold a guitar.
Okay. And his hands are crazy. I mean, when you see him going at it, he's incredible. But he really kind of opened my eyes to all these different rhythmic ways to play the cello, to kind of take it out of the classical realm.
Well, that's interesting. Being a street musician, I mean, let me ask you, if being a street musician kind of forces you to come up with an act, right? I mean, you got to do something to get people's attention apart from playing well.
Yeah.
So first, well, let's talk about that. How hard is it to be a successful street musician in a place like New Orleans?
I think I'm very lucky to have a classical background. And I knew that I could play Bach, and I knew that my hands would get stronger for it. And so that's what I did. And I was living in New York and moved down to New Orleans and decided, you know, I'm going to figure out who I am creatively. And I used it all of last year to do that. And I played Bach, and I was writing music kind of on my own, not really singing and playing as much in the street, but... it's been great. It's funny. It's more for me. This playing in the street is more about the momentum, catching a moment when people are actually going to pay attention.
Well, that's what I wondered. If that need to get people as they're walking by, it's very different than sitting in your room listening to the song, playing a tape, or even an audience that's all in one place. But I wonder if that in any way informs your playing, or if that's just something you do when you're on the street.
I would say that definitely informs my playing when I see people walking by and I'm thinking, I got to make $5 right now.
Make a look. Well, how about if I put $5 right there, would you play another one?
Absolutely. Right. We're going to play a Haitian song. My family's from Haiti, and I've been exploring a lot of the old Haitian folk music. So this song is called Merci Bon Dieu, which means thank you, Lord. And the words, I'm going to sing it in Creole, so I'm going to let the listeners know what I'm saying. Says, thank you, Lord. Look at all the nature you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord. Look at how our misery is over. The rain is falling, the corn is growing, all the hungry children are now eating, so let's dance. Our Father up in heaven says our misery is over.
Callow live on the State of Things along with Carrie Morin. And as amazing as you are on the cello, you cannot make it sound like a banjo. That was, in fact, a banjo you were playing. So you played that too. Did you pick that up about the same time as the cello?
That tune?
No, the banjo.
Oh, no. I picked up the banjo about a year ago when I was living in New Orleans and learned about the banjo tradition, the jazz banjo tradition in New Orleans, and found out that it has the same strings and the same tuning. And so I picked one up off of banjohangout.org. And just got really lucky with this beautiful instrument.
Our listeners have all rushed to that website. We've lost them all now, just you and me. Well, that's great. And it's a lot lighter than a cello. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. It's 5 pounds.
You actually played with the Carolina Chocolate Drops, right?
I do.
Playing
the banjo with the Chocolate Drops? I actually just play cello right now, as it stands right now. I'm sure I'll be playing more instruments and singing more. But it's been incredible. It's been absolutely incredible. It's the last thing that I expected to happen, but it's amazing how quickly the music has really congealed, and I think people are really responding to that well.
Well, there are certainly people who revive the idea of string band music, especially in the African-American tradition. You, speaking of reviving and keeping alive the tradition, are one of the artists under the Music Maker Relief Foundation label.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look old enough to be a Music Maker Relief. What's happening? Is the foundation itself changing direction a bit?
No, not really, but I think that they are expanding their Next Generation program. Both Carrie and I are part of a program that they have called the Next Generation, which helps younger artists and helps develop younger artists and support them creatively and in their lives. So,
and it's interesting because you are, on the one hand, keeping some traditions alive and yet very clearly experimenting, moving on with your own sound.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. I'm really inspired by the past and by history and by tradition, but I like experimenting with it, and I like playing with different musical ideas and being able to express that.
And I think if we could have been there with all those great traditional players, we would have seen how much experimenting they did and how much they changed. So that's what probably made them great. Layla, great to talk with you. Thanks so much. I want to leave you time to play us out. So let me first thank you for being on the show, and Carrie, you too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Carrie Morin and Layla McKella. Layla is going to be at the Arts Center in Carrboro tonight at 8 o'clock. She's going to open for Irish Music Ensemble. But for tickets, you can go to artscenterlive.org. That's our program for today. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, here's Layla McKella.
This is called When I Can See the Valley. It's an original tune. Well, I'm praying because I'm scared that my time is coming soon. And I pray because I fear that I've got too much to lose. When your Savior came a-knocking, were you ready to be free? And would you ask her up in heaven to save a place for me? Salvation, but I am afraid to fly. We all want to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. And I'm choosing to be faithful, to have something to hold on.